LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us for our Christ in the Old Testament series, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, he's going to be taking us into Zephaniah 3, which is sounds really bad. I mean, it's a account of judgment. It has God's people rejecting God altogether, not even listening to God anymore. Now, we might think this is extreme, but of course, this has something to say to us. And of course, it also has something to show us of Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Great to be here, Todd.
This is about, at least in its original context in Zephaniah, about God's people rejecting him. How does that connect us to Christ there?
Well, throughout the scriptures, you have this this rebellion, this fight, this whole entire war, a spiritual battle that's going on between God's kingdom and any earthly kingdom. And sometimes that language is used as a city. You have the cities of the earth in opposition to heavenly Jerusalem, or even earthly Jerusalem itself that becomes an opposition. But this is constantly these earthly minded people who are in league with the devil, being deceived in his darkness and deception. And it could be any city. It could be any of the pagan cities, any of the worldly kingdoms, or it can even be Jerusalem itself, the city that becomes just like any other city. And here, as Zephaniah opens up, here we have this woe. Woe to this rebellious, defiled, oppressing city. This is earthly Jerusalem in opposition to heavenly Jerusalem. And is earthly Jerusalem. Earthly Jerusalem does not listen to the voice of God. She does not accept correction. So she rejects the word of God, refuses and resists this work of the Holy Spirit. And this is a constant theme that we see throughout the scriptures, that any one of these earthly cities, earthly kingdoms in opposition to God's kingdom is trying to prevent his kingdom from coming. It's a spiritual kingdom that comes by the preaching of his word. And here, this city, which is now earthly Jerusalem, refuses to listen to God's word. It will not accept any correction from God at all. And as God had been rejected throughout the Old Testament by his own people, this is what takes place in the New Testament when God comes to earthly Jerusalem in the flesh, and she will not listen. She will not accept instruction, and she will not put her trust in the Lord, and she will not draw near to her God. For Christ himself is God in her midst, Emmanuel, God with us. And this is a constant theme throughout the Old Testament scriptures, that God's word is rejected, which we then see in the incarnation, for Christ himself is the incarnate word. And here you have this this contrast between God and his word and the institutions that he's established, and now earthly Jerusalem that is in rebellion against God's institutions. And you notice the language of the prophet here, that this is her princes, her judges, her prophets, and her priests. These are all these earthly minded priests, prophets, and princes, and judges who are not listening to God's word, who are not teaching God's word, but they are following the imagination of their own heart. And this is how Zephaniah opens up, with the rejection of God by earthly Jerusalem. And even throughout the chapter later on in verse 7, you have this language that should be very familiar to us when we hear it, where God says, "Surely, surely you will fear me. Surely you will accept correction." But no. Not at all. Not at all. Then your dwelling would not be cut off. These things would not happen, so that God's word comes to warn, to bring these threats of punishment, the impending wrath of God that's being poured out, that they would listen, that they would take refuge in God, that they would be saved, but they reject. But this whole language of God coming to his own people saying, surely they're going to fear me, surely they're going to accept correction, surely they will listen. This is very similar to Jesus when he's approaching Jerusalem in his final days with these people of earthly Jerusalem, and he gives that parable of the vineyard in Matthew chapter 21, where you have the prophets being sent, and they will not listen to the word of the prophets. That's the word of God on their mouths. And then finally, you have the Father saying, well, I'll send my son, for surely they will respect my son. But of course, when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. And this is kind of setting the stage for us here with Zephaniah chapter 3, the earthly Jerusalem will reject the king.
Okay, so this actually, it not only happens at the time of Zephaniah, it is fulfilled in Jesus being rejected by God's people in the New Testament.
Yeah, it constantly happens throughout the Old Testament. So the prophets proclaim there's going to be judgment, there's going to be punishment, there's going to be wrath, and they're pointing, of course, ultimately to this Babylonian captivity. When you have one of these earthly kingdoms that will take them away, that will destroy their earthly kingdom. But yet when they are redeemed, when they are brought back, still, they won't listen. So here in Zephaniah, even though you have been redeemed, even though you have been brought back, you're still not going to listen. So it's constantly this reoccurring theme. So when the Redeemer himself comes to Jerusalem, they once again will not listen, and they will not heed the warning of impending doom.
So you also say we can see Christ in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Where are we finding that in Zephaniah 3?
Well, so we're setting the stage again with earthly Jerusalem, this oppressing city, this rebellious, defiled city. Now the king has come, the one who's going to purify them, the one who's going to save them, redeem them, take away their sin, but yet they will not look to him for salvation. But we see this in the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday when Jesus enters into Jerusalem. And these words are echoed in John's Gospel in chapter 12, in which we specifically hear that they took these palm branches in hand and they go out to greet him. And this is that remnant. This is the small group that is listening to these words of the prophets who have been waiting for the Savior to come. They have been waiting for their king. And now they sing out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And then Jesus, of course, is there on the donkey, on the colt. And this is, as John will tell us, just like the prophets had said, written of old, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Well, this is echoed here in Zephaniah chapter 3, in which the prophet says, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let your hands not grow weak. And you have this echoing here in Zephaniah chapter 3, and it's also in Zechariah chapter 9, where in Zechariah you have, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, and a fowl of a donkey. And in John's gospel, he takes not only this understanding of the king coming to us on the donkey, but he adds to it this fear not. Now, we've seen this in Zephaniah chapter 3, where both you rejoice, O daughter of Zion, but also fear not, O Zion. Well, this is what Zechariah was saying in chapter 9 when he says, rejoice greatly, O daughter, but in the previous chapter of Zechariah chapter 8, he's also saying, fear not, for your king is coming, so that in these days he will bring good to Jerusalem and the house of Judah, so fear not. And that's what's being spoken by the prophet Zechariah in chapter 8 and chapter 9. Fear not, behold your king, rejoice. And this is what's being echoed here in Zephaniah. So we're focusing on the coming king, the one who we're waiting for to bring his kingdom, and we are to rejoice and not to fear.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take a break on this Thursday afternoon, December the 10th. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Zephaniah chapter 3, the Old Testament reading for this coming Sunday. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. Adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Zephaniah chapter 3 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, one of the other things here that I find in Zephaniah 3 is a reference to the King of Israel. It says, the King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. Now, let's talk a little bit about how the Yahweh calls himself their king.
So God himself is the king, and you have this initially at the beginning of the kingdoms of Jerusalem, in which the people of God want a king, and remember the prophet, of course, Samuel is upset because he's thinking that the people are rejecting him. But instead, God assures Samuel that it's not a rejection of him as a person. Instead, it is a rejection of God as king, for God is the king. But, of course, they want a king just like all the nations do, just like the earthly kingdoms. But God is constantly trying to teach them that he is the true king, and he is the one who will come as king. He will come in the flesh, and he will be born of the house of Judah, that he will reign in Jerusalem. But he's going to show them the type of kingdom that he comes to bring. And this is going to be a kingdom of righteousness and justice. This will be a reoccurring theme that you will also see through the prophets, that this coming king, that God himself will reign, and in his kingdom there will be righteousness and justice, is always compared to what's taking place in the realm of earthly Jerusalem, because the prophets will look around and they see injustice, not justice. They see wickedness and not righteousness. But they're constantly looking for this kingdom that he will come to bring, in which he will reign, and he will reign in bringing justice, he will make things right, and he will bestow his righteousness upon his people, that his people will be declared righteous in his sight, for he is the righteous king. He's the one who is in their midst. And this is the language here of the incarnation, that Yahweh is not only king, but he is king in your midst. And he is the one who will be with you. He is Emmanuel. You see this also in verse 17, a few verses later, where Yahweh your God is in your midst. And he is a mighty one who will save. Now, that language, of course, of a mighty warrior and one who brings salvation. This is the kind of king that he is. He comes to bring his kingdom. And when he brings his kingdom, he must put down these false pretend kingdoms, these kingdoms that are in league with the devil in a dominion of darkness. So he will come to defeat the devil and all those who are trying to prevent his kingdom from coming, which is a spiritual kingdom, which comes through the preaching of his word. So here the prophet is preaching the word, proclaiming and saying that your king is in your midst. He comes. He will be with you. He will be mighty. He will save, and he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Well, this is kind of in a response to what's going on with the people. The people respond by also singing aloud and rejoicing and exulting in their heart because of their king. So they are in the kingdom, they're heirs of the kingdom, and they rejoice over the person and work of their king. Well, this language of the one who is strong, who is mighty to save, he's the one who is going to defeat the evil one, so that we shall not fear evil anymore. For the evil one, the devil, is the one who brings death. But this kingdom that we're waiting for, this king that we're looking for, this is the king of Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. He is mighty to save. He is Jesus, the one who saves us. And he comes to give to us his righteousness. And this is in Zephaniah chapter 3, earlier in verse 5. Yahweh within her, so in her midst, this incarnational language, he is righteous. And he does not do the injustice that is being seen in these earthly kingdoms, even earthly Jerusalem. But instead, every morning he shows forth his justice, and each dawn he does not fail, but the unjust knows no shame. And so you have the contrast with these earthly kings, these earthly rulers, in Christ himself, who is the true king, who reigns in righteousness and justice. Well, that's the same language again of Isaiah chapter 9, that the one who is mighty God, the king that we're waiting for, that is to be born of the house of David incarnationally, well, in Isaiah 9, it's of the increase of his kingdom, his government, there will be peace, and there will be no end. And on the throne of David, he will reign as king to establish it and uphold it with what? With justice and with righteousness. That's what they've been looking for. They're looking for God's kingdom, the kingdom that brings justice, making everything right, and God's righteousness, declaring us righteous by faith in Christ.
There's also this passage, and I want to know what the prophet is talking about, where we find Christ in this. Behold, at the time I will deal with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Pick it up there and show us Christ in that.
Yeah, this chapter starts off with the city of Jerusalem being an oppressing city. And you have the language here of your oppressors, the ones who are oppressing you, the ones who are afflicting you, the ones who are making you struggle, the ones who are causing you all this stress. This is any kind of an earthly kingdom that is trying to prevent the people from hearing God's word, from listening to God's promise. And so specifically in this passage where we're talking about earthly Jerusalem, the oppressors are her priests, her prophets, her princes, and of course her judges. They're the ones that are oppressing the people. And we'll see this in the days of Jesus when Jesus is interacting with these oppressors, the scribes and the Pharisees, the pastors and the theologians, the priests of those days. That Christ, of course, is coming there to deal with the oppressors. And he will save the lame and gather the outcast, and he will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Well, this is the victory that he has over any of these earthly kingdoms that are trying to oppress God's people and trying to prevent God's people from trusting in the mercy and the promises of Christ. This is this language of the oppressors of these earthly kingdoms is that language we have in Psalm 2, in which the kings of the earth have set themselves. They've taken their places, the rulers, they take the council together, and what are they doing? They're making their plans, the plans of attack against Yahweh and against his Christ. So they are trying to defeat God's kingdom. They're trying to hinder his kingdom from coming. These are the oppressors. You had the oppressors in Egypt. One of the constant phrases that we use is that you had these taskmasters who were oppressing you in Egypt, but then your own leaders became like Pharaoh and they started oppressing the people of God. Well, if you want to oppress people, then God will hand you over to oppressors like the Assyrians or the Babylonians. But here, the Lord is giving this assurance that he will deal with the oppressors. And this is in verse 8, then he says that this promise, therefore, wait for me, declares Yahweh, for the day when I rise up as a witness, for my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation and all my burning anger, for in the fire of my jealousy all the earth shall be consumed. And this is the language that you'll see here of gathering and collecting. Assembling, which kind of has a twofold emphasis to it, that you have the gathering, collecting, that these nations will be gathered before God for judgment, for justice, and they will be defeated. All of these oppressors will be overthrown. At the same time, this is the language that is being used for gathering, collecting of the conversion of these nations, the assembling of these nations before God, that his word would be spoken, because he's bringing his kingdom. And his kingdom, again, is a spiritual kingdom, and it comes through the preaching of his word. And so his word goes out, and that word spoken in the fashion of the law condemns, and it brings God's wrath. That word spoken in the fashion of the gospel, it brings newness of life, it raises up, and it bestows the forgiveness of sins. So this is wait for Yahweh. He will deal with the oppressors. It's the same language of the vision of all the prophets, that they say, wait, trust, put your hope in Christ, not in earthly princes. Trust not in man, but trust in the Son of Man. Trust in God himself, the one who comes in the flesh to be your king. In Habakkuk 2, that's the promise, that if he seems slow, wait for him. He will surely come. He will not delay. And here you have this emphasis on that when he comes, there will be the day that he rises up as a witness. And this is pointing towards the mystery of what Christ will do in his death and resurrection, that they will crucify their king, but yet he will rise up and he will gather. He will assemble the nations. And so this will point toward the conversion of the Gentiles, that in those days he'll restore the fortunes of Judah and he'll gather the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's where Yahweh judges and brings justice. And here, any time we see the fall of these earthly kingdoms, it shows forth the destruction of the devil's reign, that Christ comes to convert. He comes to destroy any opposition that tries to prevent people from hearing his word. And so the enemies are cleared away. And behold, he will deal with the oppressors. And this is what Jesus assures his people. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, because in this world you will have tribulation. You will be oppressed. You will be afflicted. But take heart, I have overcome the world.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. About another 10 minutes with him. On the other side of the break, it's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Zephaniah chapter 3. When we come back, we'll talk about Christ in the holy mountain that is mentioned there in Zephaniah. You shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain, also in the one in whom we seek refuge. Stay tuned.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's Christ in the Old Testament. About another 5 minutes with him discussing Zephaniah chapter 3. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, take us into this language about the holy mountain. What is the mountain that Zephaniah is referring to, and how do we see Christ in it?
Well, we see this theme of either you have an earthly city or the heavenly city, the holy city, this heavenly Jerusalem or earthly Jerusalem, or the language of the kingdoms of the earth or the heavenly kingdom. And this is the contrast between these mountains, these nations, these kingdoms, these kings, or you have God's holy mountain. And that contrast is used throughout Scripture, and most evident, of course, it is in Isaiah chapter 2, where you have the contrast between the mountain of God, the holy mountain. This is heavenly Jerusalem, where God is in the midst of his people, giving to them his holiness, bestowing it upon them, making them holy, and forgiving them their sins. So on that day, you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. And these are these mountains rising up in opposition to God's mountain. But what God will do is he will not hold this against you. He will make you holy, for that's what God does in his holy mountain, in his holy kingdom. And he will remove from your midst your proudly exultant ones. And again, those are the oppressors. Those are the leaders who exalt in themselves and have rebelled in pride and arrogance against God and against his word. And you will remove the leaders, and as you remove the leaders, God is leader. God is the one who is the true prophet, the true priest, the true judge, the true prince of peace, and of course, the king in their midst. And as he is holy, he will make them holy. And this is the language also in, you have in Psalm 2, when you have these, the kings of the earth are setting themselves in opposition against Yahweh and his Christ, and then of course, Yahweh the Father specifically says, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy mountain. That's the Christ. This is about the incarnation.
And then with only about a minute here, Christ in the one whom we seek, one in whom we seek refuge. With only about a minute here, Pastor Ketchelmeyer.
Yeah, so you have, but I will leave in your midst a people humble and lowly. The exalted ones will be wiped out and humbled. The humble will be exalted. So these are the humble ones. These are the ones who seek mercy in Christ. These are the ones who shall seek refuge in the name of Yahweh, which, of course, is that same language that you have in Psalm 2, when you have his holy mountain, the kings of the earth, but those who will seek refuge in him, the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is the King in Israel, they are blessed. And this, of course, will include those in Jerusalem, and as the word goes out of Jerusalem, it will bring others at that time and at that place, and he will change all of their speech into a pure speech so that they all who call upon his name shall be saved.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thank you very much for your time.
Great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Sherb. We're going to take up, well, last time we talked about the 95 Theses in 1517, and we concluded that Luther is really still at that point. While he's on the road to Reformation, he's a long way from his Reformation theology that will actually bring about the Lutheran Reformation. What about the next year, 1518, a almost as significant set of theses written by Luther for a convocation of his Augustinian order? He's still an Augustinian monk at this point. It's called the Heidelberg Disputation. And it doesn't have so much to do with the subject of indulgences or purgatory or anything like that. It has to do with a concept that Luther is rolling around in his head, the theologian of glory versus the theologian of the cross. Now, much has been made of Luther's Heidelberg Disputation, but when he writes it in 1518 and delivers it to his fellow Augustinians, does he yet have law and gospel clear? Does he yet fully understand the central doctrine of the Christian faith, that is justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone and alien righteousness? Well, we'll answer that question with Dr. Ken Sherb tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for 7 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2015, we're $55,000 short of making expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues, etc., at the end of 2015.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri, is a proud sponsor of Issues, etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.